The fifth parak deals with various issues that come up when we have a bechor that has a mum in it. And as we've said in the past, typically a bechor, if it's tamim at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's brought as a korban, and thereafterward the meat is eaten by the kohen. But if it has a mum, if it has a permanent defect, blemish, and the like, then it's not brought as a korban. It's invalid to be brought as a korban, and the bechor gets it automatically. He shachs it and can eat it. Now, this concept of a defect, a blemish on an animal, it doesn't only apply to bechor. It applies to all korbanas. So you can't bring a korban, if you can't bring an animal as a korban, if it has developed a blemish. So we are in our Mishnah Aleph, going to distinguish between kol psulei hamukdashim. A psulei hamukdashim are, a mukdash is a korban, an animal that was designated, consecrated to be brought as a korban, but it has a psul, it now has a blemish in it. So what happens with that? We're going to distinguish between the vast majority of animals that are brought as korbanos, and we'll distinguish that from a bechor and maaser behema. When we talk about maaser in this mission, it's maaser behema is the annual tithing of the newly born animals in that given year. So the Mishnah says as follows, kol psulei hamukdashim nimkarim bitlis. If you have an animal that was to be brought as a korban and it now has a psul, so it can be redeemed. And what happens is when it is redeemed, it can be sold. The kedusha of the animal, most of the kedusha at least, transfers to the money. The money is then used to buy a replacement korban. And once that redemption happens, that animal can be sold. It can be used for many non-kedusha purposes. As we've talked in the past, there are certain limitations on it. You can't take the wool, you can't work it, but it can be shechted and eaten as chulin, as regular meat. So the Mishnah says, once you have that kol psulei hamukdashim, once you have that animal that was to be brought as a korban, but it now has a psul, it now has this blemish, so it cannot be brought as a korban, you can actually nimkarim bitlis, you can sell that animal in the meat market. Now, typically we would say that's a bit of a disgrace to the animal. That animal was designated to be brought as a korban, and even though it's been redeemed, but still there is some residual kedusha. But nonetheless, even though it's a little bit of a disgrace, because the money is going for the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash, it will be used for the benefit of Beis HaMikdash, used to purchase more korbanas. Accordingly, we want to get the best price for the Beis HaMikdash, so it can be sold in the meat market, which is going to get the higher price. There's more demand there. V'nishkatin bitlis, and it can be sold in the meat market. V'nishkalin belitra, and it can also be weighed against the normal weights, the normal way that you weigh meat in order to sell it. Here we are simply trying to do it in the normal fashion to get the ideal price, the highest price for the Beis HaMikdash. So that would apply to kol psulei hamukdashim with two exceptions here. Chutz min ha-bechor u-min ha-maser. The exceptions are the bechor, the animal that was a bechor that was designated to be brought as a korban as well, but also now it's a psulei hamukdashim. It has a blemish. So here we're going to have certain limitations on it. Umin ha-maaser, maaser, as we'll see shortly, will have even more limitations. So it goes as follows. Why do we distinguish that we are permitted for all other korbanos to sell it in the meat market and shecht it in the meat market and weigh it as we normally were? Why? Because the benefit is for the Beis HaMikdash. The exception here to the bechor and maaser, shahanayas on the balim. The hana'a is for the balim. As we know, when a bechor has a mum, has a blemish, the animal is not sold off with the money designated to buy more korbanos, but rather when you have a bechor that has a blemish, the kohen, who's the baal, who's the owner of it, has the benefit. He gets to eat the meat. So we're still going to treat this animal with a little bit respect. We're not going to put it in the meat market and shecht it and weigh it in the normal way. We're going to sell it in a more tsanua way, less disgraceful way, so the kohen can sell it out of his house, for example, but not in the meat market. Also, as we'll see shortly in the Mishnah, there are also going to be limitations when he's selling it on how to weigh it. We want to weigh it in a different way so it's not as disgraceful for the meat. And the same thing, or actually even more extreme, when it comes to the maaser, the behema that was designated for maaser behema, that there we don't weigh it at all because you're not allowed to sell the behemoth maaser at all. So there we're even stricter than the bechor. We actually have three categories. We have all the psulei hamukdashim except the bechor and maaser. all of those can be sold in the normal meat market fashion. When it comes to the bechor, they can be sold, but in a more quiet way, not in such a public way, and it has to be measured in a different way. And when it becomes to the maser, it cannot be sold at all. Continuing, psulei hamukdashin, why are we so lax when it comes to the other psulei hamukdashin that we can sell it in such a public and even somewhat disgraceful way? Because, as we said before, hanayasan lahekdesh, the hana, the benefit is for the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, we want to maximize the profit, the sale price to the Beis HaMikdash, so it can be sold in the normal meat market and in meat market fashion. The shokli, when it comes to the bechor, the shokli mane kenegin mane ba bechor, we said that the bechor has to be sold out of the house in a more refined way than selling it in the meat market. And not only that, when it's weighed, the only way you can weigh it, you can't weigh it in the normal way that you would put it on the scale and you put weights on one side and the meat on the other. But what you can do with a shinoi, so that it's not as disgraceful, with a little bit of a change, if you have a piece of meat, of chulin, regular meat that weighs a certain amount, you can use that as opposed to the normal weights. You use a piece of meat, you know the weight of the meat, and you can weigh the meat of the bechor on the other side of the scale. That's why it's shokli maneh kenegin maneh, a portion versus a portion, and that's how we are permitted to weigh the bechor when selling it in a more dignified manner. Mishnah Beis has two unrelated halachas. The first one is, who can eat the meat of a bechor when it has become blemished? So the default, obviously, is kohanim, but can anyone else be included? If the Kohen has a Bechor, he's got this animal, it's been blemished, he's going to shecht it, can he invite his neighbor, who is the Yisrael, to participate in the meal in eating that Bechor? So Beis Shammai Omrim, lo yimane Yisrael im ha-Kohen al ha-Bechor. Beis Shammai says, no, Yisrael cannot be included with the Kohen or Kohanim in eating of the Bechor. Beis Shammai bases that on a pasuk that it has to be only Kohanim eating the Bechor even when it's been blemished. And Beis Hillel has a different pasuk to teach us, Beis Hillel Matirin Vafilu Narchi, that's permitted to include not only Yisrael, but even a non-Jew in the eating of a blemished Bechor. The second halacha needs a little bit background, and that is that it's prohibited to cause a Bechor to have a mum. If it happens to have a mum, it gets a mum not intentionally, then it cannot be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen is permitted to shachten and eat the meat. But it cannot be intentional that the Kohen or somebody else gives that animal a mum, gives it a blemish. But what happens if we're in a situation that that animal has a certain disease? And the disease we'll talk about in our Mishnah is Bechor She'achazo Dam. Means it has excess blood, and if it has excess blood, it could cause the animal to die. In this situation, we would have to let some of the blood out of the animal, but that may cause a mum to the animal. It happens to depend on where you cut the animal in order to let that blood out. It could be in a place that will cause a mum. It can be in a place that won't cause a mum. And the question is, are we permitted to do this bloodletting because it may cause a mum in this bechor? And how about if it's needed to save its life? So we're going to have three different opinions on this. Bechor she'achazo mum, if you have that bechor that it she'achazo dam, that has that excess blood. Opinion number one, afilu humeis, even if that animal is going to die, ein makizin lo dam, we cannot cut that animal to let the blood out. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, that is the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Now, the Bar Tanur explains, why is Rebbe Yehuda so strict? Why don't you let the owner, the Kohen, cut the Bechor in a place that it's not going to cause it a mum? So he's concerned, if we permit this Kohen to cut the animal, to let the blood in a place that it won't cause a mum, he's going to easily slip and be cutting that Bechor in a place that it will cause a mum, and that's absolutely prohibited. So because of that concern, we're going to say you cannot let that blood out, even at the expense of that animal dying. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, ein makizin lo dam. You can't let the blood out because we're concerned. We're concerned that you're going to come and cut that animal in a place that it's going to cause a mum. Opinion number two, v'chachamim omrim yakiz. You can indeed permit the Kohen to let the blood out. Ubivach lo yaseh b'mum. As long as he's not intending, he's not cutting the animal in a place that it will cause a mum. So you have to do it in a place on the body that it won't cause a mum. And Chachamim, their explanation is as follows, why they're lenient to enable the letting of the blood from a place that won't cause a mum, because if we tell the Kohen, you're not permitted to cut this animal at all, there's a concept that somebody is bahul al mimono. People really care about their assets, they care about their money, and if you say absolutely not, you can't save the life of this animal, not only are they going to cut it from a place, let the blood come out from a place that won't cause mum, they're going to come, this is the Bar Tanura, then they're going to even cut it in a place that will make a mum. So let's at least permit the Kohen to cut the animal, to let the blood in a place that it won't cause a mum. So that is opinion number two. Opinion number one is, no matter what, you cannot cut the animal in order to let blood out, regardless of the location. Opinion number two, Chachamim, is that you are permitted to let the blood out, provided it's in a place that will not cause a mum. And Chachamim continue, the asaba mum, but what happens if you did cause there to be a defect, a blemish in the animal? Hareza lo yishchot alav. The Kohen would not be permitted to shecht the animal, even though it is a bal mum now, but because it was inflicted by the owner, we are not going to be permitting him accordingly to shecht it for himself. He has to wait until a separate mum that wasn't done by the owner, that happens outside of the care of the owner, as long as it gets that second mum, then the owner would be permitted to shecht it. But until that happens, he's not permitted to shecht it because he inflicted the mum. And number three, Rabbi Shimon Omer Yakiz, is permitted to let the blood out, af al pi shohu osa mum, even though you make a mum. What's going on here? So let's look at the Bar Tanura. It says Yakiz, af makom shosa bo mum. Rabbi Shimon is saying you can even let the blood out from a place that will cause a mum, im hutzarech lahakiz ma'oso ever. If that's necessary to let the blood out from that limb, it would be permitted, and we would not let this animal die. Even though the owner himself is causing this mum, it would be permitted to do shechita. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We also see this in other areas like Hilcha Shabbos, that a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. When you do an act that was not intended, it wasn't intentional, it is mutter. So here, Rabbi Shimon is saying, as long as it's not your intent to cause the mum, but you caused it, it's okay, because it wasn't your intention, we are going to be lenient, and it would be permitted, even if it's a permanent mum, even though it was inflicted by the owner, it would be permitted for the owner to shecht. This is now an animal, a bechor, that is a bal mum, can't be brought as a korban, and it's permitted to the owner. He doesn't have to wait till it has a subsequent mum. It'd be permitted for him to shecht and eat the meat immediately. Mishnah Gimel is built on the premise that an intentionally inflicted blemish of a bechor is prohibited. It actually is an Isser D'Oraisa. It's based on the Pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Kol Mum Lo Yieh Bo, talking about a bechor that it should not have a mum. And literally, it cannot have a mum. When there is a mum, a blemish, it invalidates the bechor from being brought as a korban. But because the word yihye or lo yihye, it should not be, can be read as lo yehaye. That means lo hayehaye, little tough to pronounce, means that you're not allowed to create the blemish. So there's an Isser D'Oraisa, we learn both from here. It cannot be blemished, and also there's an Isser D'Oraisa to create the blemish. So based on that background, Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Hatzorim Be'ozen HaBechor. What happens if somebody does cause a permanent blemish here? The one that is brought as an example is that Kohen comes and he slits the ear of the Bechor. That is one of the permanent blemishes we will get to at the beginning of Perek Vav. Hareze lo yishachet olam estiva Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is of the view, because this was an intentionally inflicted blemish, it will never be permitted for that Kohen to shecht that Bechor, even when that Bechor subsequently has its own blemish, and a different blemish, an unintentional blemish. It's still going to be prohibited as a penalty, and it's going to be prohibited for that owner of that Bechor to shecht that animal. That is the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Very strict. Chachamim omrim kishi yivaled lo mumacher yishchot alav. Chachamim are more lenient. They are of the view that when it has a subsequent blemish that wasn't intentionally inflicted, then it will be permitted for that owner to shech that animal. So he's not going to benefit from his intentional blemish, but subsequently when it has an unintentional blemish, then he'll be permitted to shech it. And now we're going to have two maises, two occurrences that happen, very interesting occurrences. And what we're going to learn from them is that when the blemish is intentional, then it's not going to be valid. It's not going to be considered a valid blemish. It's going to be disregarded. But when it's unintentional, that is what's going to permit the shechting of the bechor to the owner, to the kohen owner of the bechor. So maaseh, this is the first maaseh, the first occurrence, bezachar shel rechelim zaken. It's talking about an old ram that was a bechor, usaro miduldal, and its hair was long and disheveled because it was a bechor, and it never had a mum, so there was nothing to do with its wool. It was not permitted to shear it, so it kept on growing and growing. So now it's an old ram, and it looks disheveled, long hair, disheveled hair, all mixed up, the hair. And Ra'ahu Kastarechan, and a Roman official sees this old animal, and he inquires, why didn't you do anything with this animal? It's so old and disheveled at this point. Amar Mati Voshal, so he asked the owner, what's the nature of this animal? It's so old, it looks miserable. Why didn't you use it? Why didn't you shecht it when it was younger? So the owner, Amrullah, responded back, Bechor, who this is a Bechor, I couldn't do anything with it because it's Tami, Veno Nishchat, Eliim, can I have a mum? And I can't shecht it until it has a mum. So that's why it's here, it's old, it's dishtevel, because it never got a blemish. So what that Roman official did, not at the urging or request of the Jewish owner, not Talpigion Vitzarim Beozno. He took a dagger, and what he did was he slit the ear, making it a mum, a baal mum. And accordingly, now the owner of the Bechor would be permitted to shecht it. Uba ma'isa lifnei chachamim, and now the owner, the kohen, went in front of chachamim. I need a psak on this. I didn't do this. It wasn't intentional by me, but the Roman officer did it intentionally. Vitiru, and chachamim said, because he wasn't intending to do it for the benefit of the Jew. And the Mefarshim explain as possible, what's going on here is that the Roman official didn't know that if he inflicted the mum, that this would permit the Bechor to a Jew. Maybe it could be only that if it happened unintentionally, maybe if something else did it, but he didn't know for certain that his inflicting that wound would cause it to be permitted. So it really is, this is the Bartanura, even though he intended it to make the mum, but it wasn't with the intent of the Jew. And Shaloni's Kavin Lasod Nachas Ruchli, so also he wasn't intending to benefit the Jew because he didn't know there would be a benefit to the Jew. Accordingly, Chazal said it's permitted. It's permitted for the owner now. This is considered a baal mum. They said it's permitted for the owner to shech the animal and to eat it. So now this Roman official saw that he did a good thing. He benefited the Jews. He benefited the Jewish owner. The Bechor Rashi Tiru Chachamim said it's mutter now. Behalach v'tzarim Bechoros Acherim. He went around and he found other Bechoros that were waiting for mums, and he inflicted the mumim into the ears, and now they went to Chachamim Vasur. Chachamim say, no, this is not permitted. We permitted it the first time when the Roman official wasn't intending on benefiting the Jew, but now we see here subsequently that his sole intention is he's trying to benefit the Jews. In this situation, we are going to say, it is usur, you're not permitted to shecht those Bechoros based on that inflicted wound by that Roman officer. You have to wait for an independent wound. Next, Maisa Pamachas Hayutinokos Misabchim Asada. There are a bunch of little kids. They were playing in the field, and these are the games that they used to play in the times back then, a couple thousand years ago. Vikashu Zanvos Talaim Zebazet. And they were tying together the tails of the lambs. And that was their fun. They were seeing how the lambs would run together or not be able to run together as their tails were tied together. One of them, the tail separated. It was torn off as these animals were trying to maneuver and run. The Harehu Bechor, and it happened to be that the one that had the tail fall off, it was a Bechor, and now it has a mum. And similar to the prior Maisa, they came in front of Chachamim, and Chachamim said, this is animal, this Bechor is now a baal mum, and is permitted for the owner of the Bechor, the Kohen, to shecht it for his own use. Why? The rationale being, as we said before, it wasn't intentional. It wasn't a self-inflicted intentional wound by the kids. It just happened. It was, they were playing, so it wasn't intentional. It was not intentional. Ra'u shihitiru. So now these kids, they said, oh, we did a good thing. We see Chazal said this is now a balmum, and it was for the benefit of the owner of a halchu, and they went for kashu zanvas b'choros acherim. They went and found all the b'chorim, and they tied all their tails together in the hopes of inflicting wounds in them, so the Chazal would permit it to the owner. And then when that happened, va'asru. This time, Chachamim said, it's not permitted. It's prohibited. Why? Because this is intentional. And when it's intentional, we can't permit the owner to shech the animal. He has to wait for an independent blemish. Zaklal, this is the general principle that we learned from both of these maises. Kol shu ledato, anytime that it is intended, the person who is inflicting the wound, the blemish, is intending to mati the bechor, they're doing it intentionally for the benefit of the owner, that's going to be usher. That's not considered a proper blemish that would permit the bechor. Mishalol adat, however, if it wasn't intentional then, and only then, would it be mutter for the owner to shach that ba'al mum for his own benefit. Mishnah Dalad continues discussing when we have blemishes, and as we saw in the prior Mishnah, a blemish that is intentionally inflicted on a bechor, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that bechor can never be eaten. And according to Chachamim, certainly not with that blemish can it be permitted. You have to wait for another blemish. So Mishnah Dalet is getting into as well an intentionally inflicted blemish, but for a different reason. Haya bechor rodfoy. In this situation, there was a bechor that was running after an individual, running after a person, so he had to act in self-defense. Ube'ato, and the person who was chased, he kicked the animal in order to stop it from attacking him. Va'asaba mum, and he created a mum, he created that blemish in that bechor. In this situation, hareze yishchot alav, it's permitted to slaughter the bechor immediately. You don't have to wait. This is because this blemish was not inflicted intentionally in order to cause a blemish, in order to permit that animal to be shecht, but rather it was inflicted in self-defense. And accordingly, there are none of the knasot, the knas, the penalties that we saw in Mishnah Gimel when that wound in the bechor was intentionally inflicted by the individual. Continuing, when it gets to a situation that we need to testify whether a mum was intentional or not, because if it's intentional, we're not going to be able to check that bechor immediately or at all. So who can you rely on to testify whether a mum, a defect, a blemish, was inflicted intentionally or not? So the Mishnah says, and we'll see three opinions on this, kol hamumim haru'uyin lavo bidei adam, any mum that could be created by a person. So, for example, a cut in the ear, or a cut off leg, those are things that could be created, caused by a person, as opposed to blemishes that no way were caused by a person. If an animal has five legs or one eye that's much bigger than the other, those are considered blemishes, defects in the animal that would not have been done by a person. So if we have a concern, maybe somebody, an individual, did cause a blemish in the bechor, so we need to hear testimony, was it created by a person, was it not? And only when we have proper testimony that it was not created by a person intentionally is the kohen going to be permitted to shech that bechor and eat it, not bring it as a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. So kolam mum yamaruin lavo bidei adam, any mum that we suspect could have been done by an individual, it could have been done intentionally by an individual, ro in Yisrael ne'emanim. Literally, shepherds who are Yisraelim, they are believed. It's talking about even when you have a shepherd who is a Yisrael, who is working on behalf of a Kohen. So the Kohen owns that animal, and we may think that the Yisrael, the shepherd, he's getting paid a little bit to do that task, so maybe he has a conflict of interest, and he's not going to be Neeman to say that this was inflicted by a person, because he's going to say it wasn't inflicted by a person, it benefits his boss. That is coming to teach us that he is still Naaman. He has a little bit of a benefit maybe, but it's not much. And accordingly, this Ro'ed, the shepherd who is Yisrael, is indeed believed to tell us that this mum was not inflicted intentionally. And once he gives us Edus, that bechor is going to be permitted to his owner to be eaten as a blemished bechor. On the other hand, v'roin kohanim eina ne'emani, when it comes to a roe, a shepherd who's a kohen, even if that kohen is not the owner of that animal. For example, he's working for a Yisrael. Yisrael owns a flock, he hired a kohen, and that kohen comes and testifies that this mum, this defect was not inflicted intentionally. We're not going to believe him. Why? He has a conflict of interest. What's his conflict of interest? Because if he testifies that it was not inflicted intentionally, but it has a mum here, he knows that his boss is going to be giving him this baal mum, this bechor that has this mum in it, and he's permitted to shecht it. So because he would have a self-interest in causing that mum, he's not going to be believed to testify, even though it's not his bechor. He's simply acting as the shepherd on that bechor. So the Tana Kama's view here is if it's a Yisrael, the Yisrael is going to be Neeman. If it's a Kohen, the Kohen is not going to be Neeman in the context of being a Roeh. Second opinion, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Neeman hu al shel chavero, when it comes to a Kohen, the Kohen is going to be believed if he's testifying about somebody else's Bechor, even if it's his friend. His friend is a Kohen and has a Bechor. The Kohen would be permitted to testify about somebody else's bechor that the mum, the defect, was not intentionally inflicted. Veino ne'eman al shalatzmo, but he would not be ne'eman to testify on his own thing. So the default of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is not like the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama seemed to be saying that a Kohen is not ne'eman, be it on his own, be it on somebody else's. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying that the default would be that a Kohen really is ne'eman as long as on somebody else's. On his own, he's not ne'eman, but we don't take away the ne'emanus of a kohen to testify as to if a bechor was intentionally inflicted or not. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now we have a third opinion, Rabbi Meir, and it's going to be very similar to the first opinion, and we're going to have to distinguish between them. Rabbi Meir Omer, hechashud al davar, lo danov lo me'ido, literally somebody who is suspected about something. And now we're talking about a kohen is suspected to have a conflict of interest when it comes to a bechor. So because of that conflict of interest, he's not going to be able to judge or give testimony when it comes to a bechor. So it seems to be that the Tana Kama is saying that the kohen is not ne'eman, and Rabbi Meir, the third opinion, is also saying the kohen is not ne'eman. So what's the difference between them? So the Bar Tanura gives one explanation. We're going to actually go to the Tosfos Yontif on this, because he's not very satisfied with the explanation on the Bar Tanura, and the Tosfos Yontif is actually based on the Gemara. There's an opinion, and this is going to be a little bit complicated. We're going to go through the Tosfos Yontif. There's a Braisa brought in the Gemara of Rabbi Yoshua ben Krusai, who says as follows, Bechor biyad kohen, tsarech shnayim mina shuk la'id alav. When you have a Bechor that's in the possession of a kohen, so obviously the kohen, we're not going to believe he has that conflict of interest. So we're going to require two people from the shuk that are not related to him, that are not employed by him, two people from outside that are going to have to give testimony. One would not be enough. And Rashi explains as follows on that braisa, tzarech shnayim min hashuk, you need people from the shuk, shnayim kol shenafilu kohanim. It didn't say in this braisa who they can be, that it has to be Yisraelim. In other words, if we are looking to the shuk, people are unrelated to this kohen, even two kohanim would be acceptable. You don't need two Yisraelim. Aval kohanim shebebeis olo, but kohanim that are together with him, related with him in the same house, etc., they would not be appropriate to give testimony. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Krusai, that when you have a kohen who has a bechor in his possession and now it has a mum, we need two unrelated people, but they can even be kohanim. So here again, we are not saying kohanim are not believed whatsoever. So continuing, the Tana Kama adheres to this opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Krusai, and is as follows. The Amar Tana Kama, the Tana Kama, when we saw the Tana Kama, he says his language was ro'in kohanim eina ne'emanim. If we have shepherds who are kohanim, they are not to believe, which would mean that people that are working together, people that are a boss, a worker, etc., that they have these relationships, people in the same household, the kohanim, those are the people who are going to be invalid. But if you have two from the shuk, two that come from outside, they are going to be Ne'eman, even if they are Kohanim. But Rebbe Meir is not going to hold like that. He's going to say that if they are Kohanim, even if they're unrelated, they're from the Shuk, it doesn't matter because they are Chashud al Adavar. So Lo Danu v'lo Me'ido. So that's the whole difference between the first opinion and the third opinion. Can we rely on these two Kohanim who are unrelated to come and give Eidus as to the Bechor, at least as to that's the explanation of the Tosfos Yontif. So it comes out that we have three opinions. Number one and number two are fairly similar, and number three is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and actually how we paskin that a Kohen is not Ne'eman on his own Bechor, but he would be Ne'eman on his friend's Bechor. And in other words, we're not concerned about Gomlim, that they're round-tripping together. I'll give Eidus for you if you give Eidus for me. And they'd both be lying, saying that my friend A is giving testimony on B, that B didn't inflict the mum intentionally, and B is giving testimony on A. We're not concerned about Gomlim, whereas with the Tana Kama and Rebbe Meir are concerned about that Gomlim, that round-tripping, each giving testimony for the benefit of the other. But there we have the Tana Kama again, where the Tana Kama is different than Rebbe Meir is. If the Tana Kama says, if we have two Kohanim who are unrelated from the Shuk, in that situation, we're not going to be concerned about Gomlim, that they're doing this round-tripping benefit, Kohanim to Kohanim, because they're unrelated and we have two of them. We're not concerned that two Kohanim are going to be Gomlim with this one coin. But Rebbe Meir, the third opinion, nonetheless says, if you're Kohanim, you are Chashud al Adavar, we're suspect. They are suspect, and accordingly, they cannot give testimony. Even if two unrelated Kohanim would come from the Shuk, we are going to invalidate their testimony in regards to a Bechor. Mishnah continues the concept of when a Kohen is or is not Ne'eman. So we saw in the prior Mishnah that a Kohen on a high level is not Ne'eman on a Bechor that's of his own, and maybe not on the Bechorim of other Kohanim. And the reason is because he has a conflict of interest. Now, what we're talking about there is he's not Ne'eman to testify that the mum, the defect, was not inflicted intentionally. We're not going to believe him. We need somebody else to give testimony in that regard. But how about in this regard, when we have a Bechor that has a mum, and somebody already testified, if we're concerned that it may have been inflicted by a person intentionally, we need somebody to give testimony that it was not, that it wasn't intentionally inflicted. Okay, great. Now maybe this bechor can be eaten, but now we still have the requirement that bechor has to be shown to a mumcha, an expert, to distinguish between whether the mum, the defect that it has, is permanent and disqualifies it from being brought as a korban, or if it is not permanent, it's just not kavua, it's arai, it will heal by itself, and accordingly, this bechor will not be disqualified at this point. So that what we're talking about now is the kohen ne'eman, is the kohen believed to say that he got the psak of an expert already, and the expert has testified, the expert has decided that the mum on this bechor is indeed a mum kavua, a permanent mum, and this bechor is now disqualified from being brought. At the time of that, we have a base of mikdash from a korban, and the time we don't have a base of mikdash, if it doesn't have a mum yet, it has to stay in pasture until it does have a mum. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ne'eman a kohen lomar, the kohen is Ne'eman in this situation to say, Heresi bechor zel uba'al mum, who I showed this bechor to a mumcha, and the mumcha paskin that it is a baal mum, and accordingly I am permitted to shecht this bechor at this point. Now we're going to move out of the context of a bechor to the context of ma'aser behema. Just quickly, a few words on ma'aser behema. So ma'aser behema, every year there's an obligation to tithe the animals, kosher animals, that had been born in the prior year. This is an obligation not only a Yisrael, but a Levi, and a Kohen. They also have to take ma'aser behema, and the animal, as long as it doesn't have a blemish, is brought by the owner as a korban to the base of mikdash. If it does have a blemish, if it developed a blemish, it was born with a blemish, it is not offered as a korban any longer. It can be shechted by the owner anywhere he may be. And there's also another important point is just like when it comes to a bechor, it is not permitted for the owner or anyone to inflict a blemish intentionally. Same thing when it comes to the Ma'aser Behema. It is not permitted for anyone to inflict a blemish intentionally. So accordingly, the Mishnah says as follows, Kol ne'emanim al mumei ha-maser. Everyone is ne'eman when it comes to the mumim of the Behema of the Maser. This is talking about even the owner is ne'eman when it comes to these blemishes to testify that the blemish was not intentionally inflicted. So now why do we have a difference between when it comes to the Bechor that the Kohen is not ne'eman, and here the owner is ne'eman when it comes to the Maser Behema? And the Bartanur explains we have something called a Migo, because. Because the owner could have done something to get him out of the issue and he didn't. He could have done something that would be permitted and he didn't do that accordingly because he had that other option which he did not exercise. He's now going to be believed that the blemish that this Ma'aser Behema, this animal that's Meiser, the blemish that it had was not intentionally inflicted. So it goes as follows. The Bartanur says, Migo di bai shadi be muma bekule edre. What the owner could have done is he could have gone around before he separated the animals that were the Ma'aser Behema, and those are now designated as karbanos. The whole issue and the whole prohibition of inflicting a mum, a blemish, is when an animal has already been designated to be brought as a korban. So once it's designated as a Ma'aser Behema, that's when you have the problem. But while it's still in the flock, it hasn't been designated yet, it's just schooling animals, no problem if somebody would inflict an intentional mum, an intentional blemish. So what he could have done is taken all the animals before separating the Ma'aser Behema, and he could have gone and made mumim in all of them. He could have intentionally inflicted defects, blemishes, and all of them, not a problem, that would have been mutter, and he didn't do that. So that's a migo, because he could have done X and he didn't. He could have done X and it would be permitted. We are not going to be concerned that he's lying that when it comes to Y by saying that this blemish in this Ma'aser Behema was not inflicted intentionally. So that's why it's there is ne'emanus, even of the owner, when it comes to Ma'aser Behema. Now we're going to actually get back to the question of a bechor. And going to an expert when it comes to a bechor. And the question we're going to deal with now is, how about when you have a mum that is clearly, obviously, a halachic permanent blemish that disqualifies this bechor from being brought as a tamim, being brought as a unblemished animal, as a korban? Do we still have to go to a mumcha, or is there an easier route to go in order to permit the Kohen to shecht this Bechor immediately? So the Mishnah says as follows, Bechor shenis meiseino. If you have a Bechor, it has an obviously blemish, it's been blinded, its eye is blind. That's a halachic blemish invalidating the Bechor. Shenikta ro yado, its leg, its foreleg, yad is a foreleg, has been cut off. Shenishbro raglo, or its hind leg, a regel raglo, hind leg has been broken. These are all evident and obvious blemishes. Everyone knows that. The Tana Mekama says, Hareza yishachet al pishlosha b'nei haknesses. You can shach these as long as you have three people from the shul. Just go in, find three people like we do Hataras Nadarim. We find three people in the shul. They don't have to be experts. They don't need to be trained. These are obvious blemishes that disqualify this Bechor from being brought as a Bechor, as a Korban. That's all you need, according to the Tana Kama. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, we need a mumcha, we need an expert who's been trained, who has permission to make decisions as to what is a mum and not a mum in the context of a Bechor. Hafilu yesham esrim b'shlosh, even if you have a basin of 23, it's a Sanhedrin HaKatan, you have 23 people, Gedolei HaTorah, but they are not qualified to decide what is a Bechor and what is not a Bechor. What is a mum, a disqualifying blemish, and not? They don't have the permission from the Nasi or the permission from the Sanhedrin to make these decisions. So even if you have 23 people on a Sanhedrin, lo yishachet el al pimumcha, even if you have a Bechor that has an obvious blemish, it doesn't matter until that mumcha makes the psak that this is a mum kavua, that Bechor cannot be shechted whatsoever. Mishnah Vav deals with a situation that a Kohen did shechita on a Bechor and subsequently sold the meat or the whole Bechor to somebody else. And it turned out that that meat, the Bechor, was Osir Bahana, because that kohen never went to show a mumcha the mum that he had, and accordingly the mumcha, the expert, never paskened that the kohen was permitted to shech that animal. So Mishnah Vav says as follows, HaShoches et HaBechor Mecharo, somebody did shechita. The kohen did shechita on a bechor, and then he sold it, V'noda Shelo Her'ahu, and then it turned out thereafter that he never showed the defect on that bechor to a mumcha, and accordingly, when it was shechted, because it was shechted before the decision, the psak of a mumcha, that animal is asr bahana, you cannot have any benefit from it. But he sold it already to the people, they have the meat, and now we're going to divide up if they ate some of the meat, if they didn't eat some of the meat, as follows, masha achlu, what they already ate of the meat that they purchased of that bechor, achlu, they ate it, what are you going to do? But regardless, even though they ate it, they had a benefit from eating it, v'hu yachsi lahem et adam, and we canalize this Kohen who sold this Bechor that was Asr Bahana, accordingly, he's going to still have to refund the money to those purchasers, even though some of the meat was eaten. We're talking about the meat that was eaten. Typically, we'd say, okay, they eat it, they benefited. No, that's not the case. That Kohen has to return their money even though they already ate that meat. How about the portion of the meat that they have not eaten yet, and they have now found out that what they were sold was asr b'hana'a, habasar yikaver, because of that isr hana'a, the meat that is still extant, that still has not been eaten, has to be buried, it's asr b'hana'a. And v'hu yachsir lahem es adamim, and for that as well, the portion that was not eaten, the kohen has to return the money, not as a knas, but because the sale was invalid. So what we're doing here is we're saying that we're dividing up. For what was eaten already, he has to return the money because of a knas, a penalty. What was not eaten, he also has to return the money, but not because of the penalty, it's because the sale was invalid, and accordingly he has to return the money. That is scenario number one, dealing with a bechor. Now we're going to have a similar scenario. V'chein ha-shochet es ha-paro u-mechara. Somebody did shechit on a paro, on a cow, sold it off, and thereafterward, v'noda shehi treifa, turned out it's a treifa. You're not allowed to eat an animal that has, that's a treifa. It had defects, life-threatening defects inside of it. Not allowed to eat it, it's a treifa. But the difference here from a bechor in the reisha is that a bechor that you weren't permitted to eat, it was shechted without the mumcha signing on, that is asr b'hana. When you have this treifa, a treifa is not asr b'hana. You're, for example, permitted to sell it to a goy. You're allowed to feed your dogs with the animal. Accordingly, we're going to have it a little bit different. We're going to divide up again what was eaten of this meat that turned out to be a treifa and what has not been eaten yet. Masha achlu. Achlu, what the purchasers ate, they ate already. V'yachsir lahem es adamim, because the knas again, we're going to penalize this person. He sold a treifa without full disclosure. Accordingly, he's going to be penalized that even the meat that was eaten already, he's going to have to return that value to the purchasers. Umash lo achlu, this is when it's different. What was not eaten yet, hen yachziru lo asabasar, the purchasers are going to return that meat. It doesn't say yikaver that we bury it because it's not asr bahana. It's permitted bahana, but what they're going to do is we're going to unravel the deal. The purchasers are going to return the meat that has not been eaten yet. Vuyachzir lahem es adamim, and he's going to return their money. So again, we are having a return of money. When we have this sold treifa for meat that was eaten, we have a return, like we talked about in the Bechor, it's a return of money because of a penalty. For the meat that has not been eaten yet, we are unraveling the sale. It's an invalid sale. And the meat is going to be returned by the purchasers, not buried, because we're not talking about asr hana. And the seller is going to return to them their money, not because of a penalty, but because we're unraveling the deal. It was invalid. And in the situation that the purchaser, before eating it, instead of eating the meat that they have in it, thereafter it turned out to be a treifa, they went in mecharua lenachrin. They went and they sold it to non-Jews. Ohitilua laklavim. They cut it up. They fed it to their dogs. So they never ate the treif. So we don't have to penalize the seller. There was never an isra v'achila on treif by the purchasers. In this situation, what is going to happen is yishalmu lo demei ha-treifa. The purchasers are not going to be paying the full price, but they're going to simply have to pay the price of treif meat. Treif meat is a lot less expensive. So accordingly, what it's saying is they can pay him the lower value. The seller who has already been paid, he's going to have to return the difference between the full price that he was paid and the price of a treifa, which is lower. So the delta, the difference between them, the seller is going to have to return to the purchaser.